Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today's program is going to be about the Constitution. We're going to be talking about the Constitution today, the Bill of Rights, and we're going to be talking about the difference between a democracy and a republic. You know, they're not the same. They're quite different. And here in the United States of America, we have a republic and a representative government. We're also going to be discussing, are we losing our civil liberties? But before we do, I do want to talk about, we are going to go to how the president just is issuing an executive order in regards to gun control. And what does that mean? Does that mean more background checks? And will any of these executive orders actually help to keep any of us safe, or do they actually hinder law-abiding citizens? Watch this.
In his first act of the new year, President Obama is using his executive pen to put stricter controls on the sale of guns. He knows his actions won't prevent all gun violence, but the president says if he can save just one life, then it's worth it. You may remember the president signed 23 executive orders regarding guns in January of 2013 after the mass school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Since then, he signed two more. This latest round will include closing the so-called gun show loophole. This is an issue that's been debated for years. The president wants to force gun sellers to register as federally licensed dealers. That will then require those dealers to run background checks on gun buyers. We also expect him to take other actions that will beef up regulations on gun dealers. Now, the big question remains, though, will his executive actions be legal? Attorneys at the White House and the Department of Justice have been poring over exactly what the president can and cannot do without the approval of Congress. However, we've seen the court overturn his executive actions before. Regardless, you can be sure the president's latest round of gun control executive actions will be challenged in court, and some Republican candidates have already vowed to undo them if elected later this year. Despite a number of mass shootings and a terrorist attack, the president's moves come as more Americans oppose stricter gun control. White House officials say the president isn't worried about politics, though. Rather, he's trying to save lives. And let this be foreshadowing, the White House says, that this lame duck president, beginning his final year in office, plans to use every tool at his disposal to advance his agenda. I'm Jennifer Wishon for Beltway Buzz in Washington.
We're going to go to a break, but when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this and talk about this more. What does this executive order actually mean, and what is an executive order? This is something that presidents have used throughout history, but what does it mean to you and me, the American citizen? Basically means that the president single-handedly can make a decision that affects the whole entire population without going through Congress, which is you, your representative government.
Executive power, presidential powers. Wow. You know, many are very upset, Steve, regarding this new executive action to control guns and lawful Americans being able to exercise their Second Amendment right. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna be getting into executive powers, but I want to just highlight a couple things that I saw in a recent article posted by Breitbart. They talked about two things. They talked about five things. We're only going to be mentioning two for today because we have such a packed program that they said that this would hinder in terms of, you know, what we've been doing for 200-plus years in America. It's a Second Amendment right. You have the right to bear arms, and all of these loopholes, all these different executive orders and everything that's trying to be pushed to restrict you, you know, the American citizen, is basically ultimately going to end in what they really would like is a gun registry, that every single person that owns a gun is registered and known by the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion, but we have a legal system. We have a constitution. And to be able to start taking executive orders and deciding one person what we should do is really bypassing the voice of the American people and the rights of the American people.
And that's the whole point of how initially the government was designed, is that we have the three different branches, but because that we've gotten so far away from the Constitution, we don't understand that it's totally being just avoided. And when you have one person saying, I'm going to do it, it's bypassed, like you're saying, the people. That's Congress.
Yeah, we have elected representatives, and we're going to be talking about that on today's program, the difference between democracy and a republic. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they say, that the main policy, it wouldn't have stopped any of the recent mass shootings. Mm-hmm. This is not something that is actually going to protect people. Many are saying this is just something that, again, is just a prelude. This is an inching closer to a national gun registry where every single gun owner in America is registered, is known. Why would that be necessary? In fact, I remember that when I was in New Jersey, they actually had one of these things in New York, and the local newspaper, Steve, put it out there on the internet, gun owners and their addresses, a map of where people lived. Like, why would you do that? Then people that want to steal guns, they actually cannot get guns the legal way. Then they go and break into these people's homes that actually have guns when they're at work and steal them.
Right.
And so this is a problem. But the other thing is this. It says it goes against 225 years of precedent, which was destroyed without any kind of process. And basically, this is what it means, and this is what this executive order, should it go through and Congress doesn't get involved. But it says this: the expansion of background checks is an affront to freedom in general because it brings the private seller under the purview of the government, regardless of whether those sellers sell one gun a year or 100. Think about this. Americans have been selling guns privately since 1791. Sorry, that's 225 years. And now, with the swipe of a pen, all that's different. And so if you're selling, individually, now the person who's actually, because you're not a gun dealer, but now you'll be registered, you'll have to be a gun dealer now. You have to take the onus is on you to make sure that you get a background check on someone. It's like, wait a minute, what are all these hoops? What are we going to? And so you have to know that this is really, by the time this gets implemented, if it does, President Obama probably won't be in office anymore. And so what, unless, you just don't know what happens, who's going to win the election and what's going to go on. And then you got to wonder, like, is this the whole aim to get basically a universal background check that basically they have right now in California and France? And this is basically leading to a gun registry. That what happened in San Bernardino, those were legal guns that were bought by somebody else, by the way, who actually, gave them to Farouk and his wife. And by the way, the justice system works. This person was found, they tracked them down, and guess what? This guy's going to be going away from prison for a long time because they labeled him as a terrorist. He bought guns legally and wind up supplying them to terrorists. Well, you're going to go to jail. You're a terrorist.
Yeah. And the hard thing is, too, is like we can't get focused on the fact of just like, okay, we need to pass more laws, because what criminal is going to obey a law?
Exactly.
None of them do. That's why they're criminals. And that's the hard thing is that you see people, what you're seeing is like, in the military, they call it a soft target. If you know someone that doesn't have a gun, you know that that's someone that's basically who's going to be defenseless.
Of course.
And you've seen it. We've talked about it before in regards to one of the states that have the strictest gun laws is California. And it's just like of all the places that this could happen, it's the answer is not just passing more laws.
Yeah, California, New Jersey, and New York are the strictest gun laws in all of the country. And guess what? It's not the least amount of crime. When I lived in New Jersey, you'd have billboards as you're coming off of the airport in Newark, as you're driving on 21 or some of these other roads, these huge billboards. It tells you if you commit a crime with a gun, I mean, you're going away for a long, long time. Yep. It tells you 1, 2, 3, all these different things. And yet people are still all over the place in New Jersey with guns, and they're committing all kinds of crimes with guns. It doesn't stop criminals. It does not stop criminals. Mm-hmm. And where most states have if you have a concealed weapons license, let's say, if from another state, there's where it's set up where you can go to different state
reciprocating
laws, right, where they will accept your concealed weapons license. Well, if you're a police officer in Georgia, you cannot bring your gun into New York City. You cannot do it. You can't. And so these laws are not set up to protect, the citizen. They're set up to protect the criminal, because they're still going to get their hands on what they're going to get their hands on, no matter what it is, you know? And so it's important that we understand, you know, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. And what is this executive order all about? We've been hearing so much in particularly this administration, but a lot of presidents have used these executive orders. You know, some of them could be good, but what does it mean? And how is it cutting us out, mm-hmm. the American citizen? We're going to be talking about this in our program, the difference between a democracy and a republic. A democracy is a majority. We think that we have a democracy. We use that word, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. But that means that the majority wins. Well, when you have a republic, yes, there is some form of democracy. But what happens is that a republic helps the people that are not a majority not lose their rights. Mm-hmm. You still have rights. Even though you're not in the majority, you don't have any rights. I mean, you still have your rights. They still need to be protected. But I want you to watch as we learn out loud what are these presidential powers are all about. Watch this.
Sometimes on the news, we hear about policies made through executive orders. But what are executive orders and how do they work? An executive order is a directive handed down from a president or state governor without involvement from the legislative or judicial branches. Executive orders can only be given to federal or state agencies like the Department of Homeland Security or the State Department. Even though executive orders are not mentioned in the Constitution, they've been used by every president since George Washington, and more often during times of war or during national disasters when government policy needs to work more quickly than the traditional legislative process. Sometimes the Supreme Court has stepped in to rein back presidential powers, like when Harry Truman tried to use executive orders to have the government seize America's steel plants in the 50s. Presidents have used executive orders to make policy that circumvents congressional control. In recent years, George W. Bush used executive orders to approve more aggressive surveillance after 9/11, and President Obama has used them for several things, including immigration reform. Some fear that their increased use threatens the long-standing checks and balances set up in the Constitution. In that system, Congress makes the laws, the courts interpret the laws, and the president and the executive branch enforces the law. So the next time you hear a president is issuing an executive order, it really means one person is making a decision for 322 million Americans without input from Congress, state legislators, or courts. And it can be just as easily changed by the next president with the stroke of a pen and no input from anyone else.
One person, the president, can make a law, mm-hmm. and institute something that will affect the rest of the entire country without any other state representative, right. your Congress, anyone involved. Listen, this needs to be really understood. This needs to be well thought out. And we need to make sure that our liberties, our civil liberties, our rights are not being infringed upon. The minute mm-hmm. we start tearing up our rights and start giving them up, listen, it won't be long until we lose them all. We get back from this break. We're going to continue to talk about this more, in particularly the difference between a democracy and a republic. New Gallup poll, recent Gallup poll says that half of the United States population, it continues to say that the government is an immediate threat. 50% believe that the U.S. government, according to Gallup poll, is an immediate threat. Why should this be when the government should be of and by and, you know, for the people? It's a representative government. Listen, we don't want to get to a point where that number 75%, 60%. Yeah. And the government's not supposed to be our enemy. It's supposed to be our friends. It's supposed to be mm-hmm. our neighbors. It's supposed to be the people in our community who we, through a voting process, select to go to Washington, D.C. or our State Department, State mm-hmm. Capitol, and be our elected representatives to represent us, because we're all working, but they can represent us and report back to us in regards to the things that they are wanting to implement, laws, things that we as citizens are even suggesting that they actually put into law. And so this shouldn't be this confrontational thing, but sad to say, in our country, it's very, very divided right now.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.